Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Camel Call Podcast. My name is Chris Sehmeyer. We are here with Lyndall Suggs. We are here with Zach Burley. We are here with Evan Budrovich. And look, I get it. You haven't heard from us as regularly as you had the past couple years, but there is a great reason for that. First and foremost, we are in the brand new Campbell University podcast studio with a fancy new soundboard. That is just a taste of what we have in here. Also, everybody in this room right now has either had a title change or new duties or different duties or additional duties.
Or diaper duties.
And
or a face
we have
left.
We have a couple of dads in here as well. So a lot of reasons for it. We want to come back to you a little bit more regularly, but also what has been going on, which has been really, really great, and hopefully you have listened to a couple of them, but Evan is going to tell us if you haven't. A lot of the great new podcast projects, video projects that our new president, who is now nearly a year in, Dr. William Downs, is into. So tell us where we can find all these great podcasts.
So Dr. Downs loves alliterations with his podcast titles. When he was at Gardner-Webb, it was First Downs, you know, kind of that football theme and hitting it. Now it's Sit Downs with Dr. Downs. So we literally sit in these chairs. We talk for an hour, right? And our first episode was with CPHS and a bunch of students in pharmacy and like their journey and how they got here. We did a baseball podcast that was video oriented, but that was an hour and 20 minutes. Like he'll chat it up. And we do one every month. Our next episode is about the strategic plan that we're unveiling, which sounds like Excel spreadsheets and numbers and data, but it's kind of the strategy and the vision behind Campbell's future, how we get enrollment up, how we fix some things. We even yesterday filmed the video with a burning cake that had different logos, and the Campbell logo popped up when you burn the cake with it. It's a company in Durham.
Wow. I burn cakes every time I make them, so this is, you could have paid me to do that.
Yeah. Where can we find all this great content, Evan?
So Billy created the podcast channel title Rhymes with Orange, which is very on brand for Campbell, right? Yeah. Nothing actually rhymes with orange. So it's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We put it on our university website. There's a podcast link up top. But usually Spotify is our best place.
Yeah, and it's sensational. And I have joked with him before a couple of times. But if you haven't heard Dr. Downs, again, he has a communication background in one of his many degrees that he has. But his natural, regular speaking voice is almost as low as our friend Lyndall's, as it is a great, great broadcast voice. He really knows how to deliver. He knows how to interview. So if you haven't already, check him out because you learn a lot and you get to learn a little bit more about our new president. Okay, March Madness is here. And again, we have a lot to catch up on. All of our winter sports, all of our spring sports, both of these are in full swing. But the headline of February and into March is our women's lacrosse team. They have won 7 straight matches. They are 7-1. They are home this Sunday versus ECU. But Zach, it has been an amazing rebuild, not even a rebuild, but a step up as Campbell went to the CAA 3 years ago, one of the toughest lacrosse conferences in the nation, period. And they have stepped up to the challenge in non-conference play.
Yeah, it's been so fun to watch. Best start in program history. I believe this is tied for the longest winning streak in program history at 7. What's really incredible is the way in which they've done it. So they've had 7 away non-conference games this year. Last year, they had 7 non-conference games. So I spoke to Coach Don Easley before the season. She goes, yeah, that's a little bit on me, the way the schedule came out. But she said it's going to be really good to be able to test themselves on the road. And, you know, one of the big talking points for her at the beginning of the year was learning how to win again, because the junior class on this team have won 7 games in their career coming into this season through the first 2 seasons of the CAA. 4 wins in the first season, 3 wins in the second season. So she said there's just a lot of players on this team that just aren't used to winning. And you don't think about that oftentimes as someone who doesn't play sports, but as a high-level athlete, these are people used to coming from clubs where they're winning almost all the games they're playing. And so when you get out of that habit, it can be difficult to get back into it. So that was the big goal for this season. And by gosh, they've been able to do that. Winning 7 straight games is going to set them up so well for this game on Saturday or on Sunday against ECU. Coach Brittany Dipper was a national championship winning goalie with Maryland. She's got a great ECU squad in a fantastic league. The AAC with JMU is one of the best as well. So that's going to be, I think, a really good marker, whether they come out on top or below there. But there's so much to be excited with. One of the big things she talked about Coach Easley that you mentioned was really raising the floor. She said that's one of the biggest things about this team that's different, where you don't have the Sam Bischoff or the Rasa Welsh, like the one big name that's going to dominate everybody else. She said, but the floor, like the lowest part of the team is huge, a massive step up. She said probably the best depth that she's ever had on the team and the highest skill level top to bottom she's ever had on one of her teams in this program. So that's been, I think, the big root of the success this year. There's a lot of really great stories. Adria Welsh in goal, which if that last name sounds familiar, that's Rasa Welsh's sister. That's one of the others. There is Ava Welsh, who is a goalie for High Point. The two of them got to play each other, a goalie battle, and Adria Welsh comes out on top on that one. So that's really cool. And, of course, Rasa's in the stands. If you make it to Barker Lane, she's out there. She is still on campus working with our football team. And so she's on the sidelines cheering. Sam Bischoff is still here as well. She's a part of the coaching staff, so she's very active. So it's a very nice mixture of kind of new and old. There's been a big step up by McKenna Duncan, who leads this team in assists right now, had a career high 5 against Wofford. That was the big question at X, who's going to fill in for Rasa Welsh, and that looks like it's going to be McKenna Duncan. Who's going to score the goals? Looks like Caroline Lauer right now, 18 goals. There's just nobody that's even, close to that as far as that goes. So she's been really, really impressive. And there's a lot of really great freshmen as well. Emma Jakowiak is one that sticks out. So top to bottom, this squad looks like it's just a higher level. Even like the player that's kind of on the end of the bench is still a huge step ahead, which is part of the result of the incredible work by Don Easley. Being in the CAA helps out with recruiting so much. And then the continued work of this program being in a region that is continuing to grow for women's lacrosse. So it's a great time in the Creek if you can make it out to watch another ball and stick sport, the best ball and stick sport, in my opinion, on campus. But if you can make it out and see them, they are so impressive. That game against ECU, I think, is going to be a great marker for kind of where they're at. Win or lose in that game, it'll tell us a lot. And I think it'll be a great moment for them heading into conference season.
And literally after a month on the road, they are home for the next 4 straight matches. It starts Sunday against ECU. A week from Saturday, that game will be on Flo College. As they start conference play, they take on Towson. Radford on March 18th, another Flo College game, March 22nd versus Hofstra. All women's lacrosse games you can get into absolutely free. And you make a good point about the fact of building to CAA competition. Recruiting really helps now because if you recruit Mid-Atlantic or the Northeast in any of our sports, you can say, hey, we're going to be up here a couple times a year playing, and we have seen everybody step up to the level. Both of our soccer teams raise their level this year. Volleyball wins the conference tournament championship. Just incredible for them going back to the NCAA tournament, and you see that in basketball as well. Speaking of basketball, women's basketball, 11-5 in the conference, 18-11 overall. They control their own destiny in fourth place, could move up to third or second place, but fourth place where they are now, that means a double bye in the CAA tournament, which for the women starts in just a week.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see exactly how things play out. I mean, the CAA, we'll talk about the men in a minute, but men and women, the parity this year has been insane for the women. It's kind of been consistent where you have your two names at the top, A&T Charleston, who have been your perennial players. You had a Stony Brook who has had a year and things of that nature. But this year, Campbell has been steady. Year two, Ronnie Fisher started to figure it out with his club, exactly what it looks like in the CAA. Now year three, doing it his way, which is different. Not a lot of transfers on this roster. The underclassmen is who's getting it done. We talk about Jasmine Navar, 7-time CAA Rookie of the Week. If she does not win Rookie of the Year, I might like lose my mind for how well she's been doing this year. But it's been the underclassmen. Olivia Tucker has come up as of late. And then a big win on the road this past weekend versus the number one seed Charleston, who we saw them take down again. They played them in a close game. And it's kind of the same story when you look at the men and the women's team, as we'll talk about it. But the women have been just on the right side of some close games of trying to figure out the end of the game. They've played well through the first three quarters. The fourth quarter has kind of been their bugaboo where they want to figure it out. And the last couple of games, they really sat down in the fourth quarter and either made a comeback to get the win, or the defense, the Ronnie Fisher staple, has held off everyone to keep them just enough to get a win. So it's been excellent. It's been excellent to watch all season.
And you know what's fun?
What?
One, students are on spring break, so I get a chance to take a step back and like look at the athletic perspective a little more. And then two, Lauren Day's been touring the country as a country music artist, yeah. Our former all-time goal-scoring leader. She's been opening in Lenovo Center and Greensboro. She travels. She was on The Voice. Like, you know, we talk about the lacrosse program having success, and then you see this country music star who was scored 50 goals in a season 10 years ago, right? Like, and now with basketball, you know, Ronnie has Shai Tooley, his all-time best three-point shooter, on the staff recruiting these kids. You know, Gemma Nunez is starring for Texas Tech, who's a top 25 national team. Like, that development, Jasmine Navarre, her sister Indy, is an All-American at North Carolina, and he finds her in Cary and develops her and gets her on the program. Like, the development of this Campbell Athletics, I think, is neat, too, because we see it in the prism of the year, but these kids getting jobs, these kids getting opportunities, the students developing to whatever program, whatever step professionally they want to take. Like, that all happens because of the bubble of Campbell Athletics.
Well, that's a really good point, and something that I wasn't going to bring up here, but it's to your point. I've had a fun project. This is going to be the Cammies' 15th year, and it started, the Cammies is our end-of-the-year ESPYs-like award show before the Ramseys and the Goldies at ECU and the Wolfies at NC State. We were the first school in the area to do something like this. And we are going back and we are interviewing all of our Mr. and Miss Campbells at Campbell. And that is the award where someone who is not only good on the court, or you don't even have to be great on the court, but someone who really has embraced the university, does so much in the classroom, is a leader. And I'm interviewing them, some who are in their mid-30s now, Evan, and you know so many of them as well. And I've interviewed a veterinarian, an international marketer, a doctor, so many people that now have families and do so much, because I think we can point to those that are in the pros right now. We have tons of them in all sports, but also those that, as the NCAA used to say, go pro in something else. And it's been really, really fun to see this Campbell Athletics generation go out into the world and succeed.
I'm looking forward to your Andrew Udy interview. He was a fan favorite in basketball, and as you guys update the banners in the arena, you know, they have the signature players of the previous decade, J-Rod and Preston Dodson in basketball. I'm looking forward to seeing those new banners with the, you know, the Jerry Hanos in wrestling, the Summer Prices in women's basketball, like seeing that generation get honored is kind of a neat tie-in for the last 10 years.
Yeah, Andrew Udy in San Antonio right now, traveling all around the country in commercial construction sales. And anybody that knows Udy knows he would be a fantastic salesman, because he can talk to just about anybody. Back to the women's basketball part of this, Ronnie Fisher last year brought in three of the best freshmen in the CAA. Mm-hmm. He kept all of those freshmen that got offers elsewhere. And then this year he brings in the best freshmen. So he has, in this portal era, and look, in women's basketball, the money might not be the same, but the Power Four teams are offering players at the mid-major level who are good a good chunk of change. And so the fact that he has been able to recruit from high school, develop from high school, and again, he has another team, especially if they get that double bye, which they're in position for right now, they have another team that could win the CAA tournament.
And I'll tell you what, in the age where everything is changing and everyone is going to the portal, Coach Fisher is just leaning on his strengths. That's what he has done. He has developed from high school to get players and keep them through their 4 years and keep them here. And obviously in the age of the portal, everyone is kind of looking to see who's swapping hands. And it's not to say that he has not gone into the portal and try to find different players of that nature, but he has taken those that may have been forgotten on the recruiting trail and brought them into Buies Creek and say, here's a place where you can play and make an impact if you're talented enough. And we see that. Olivia Tucker, who came in last year, who was a good player, got some starting minutes, has developed, I mean, exploded in year number two, especially on the backstretch. We knew what Jasmine Felton could be. We knew what Sierra Alexander could be, to see their development and their growth into year two. And then you have Jasmine Navarre, who comes in and just adds a different level of depth to this team that I don't think Coach Fisher has seen in a while. In fact, I remember him telling me at the beginning of the year, this might be one of the most talented teams that I have ever had. had in all of my years of coaching, because last year I kind of knew what our ceiling would be, but right now I think we are on par with that team, but our ceiling is so much higher than what it could have been last year, and I think he's right.
And this is a team that controls their own destiny right now. Right now, 11-5. They just beat the first-place team in the conference in Charleston this past week, and they are at home Thursday at 7 o'clock and then Saturday at 2 o'clock. And we really want you to be at this game. It's not only Senior Day. It's not only the last home game, but Campbell will take on Stony Brook, who right now is a game ahead of them in third place in the standings. So with two wins, Campbell should move up to second or third and would be on the other side of the bracket from the number one seed. But either way, controlling their own destiny to get that double bye, which really propelled them all the way to the championship game last year.
And since Campbell has been in the CAA, the number one seed has been cursed. Stony Brook lost in the final to Hofstra. A&T didn't make it past the quarterfinal last year. So it's interesting enough how this all plays out once again, where Campbell is in position to make a run, to play some games. But like I've seen other people say, I think the close games that kind of led them into this position where they are on the verge of getting in and playing for that double bye will help them down the road in these last two and then in the tournament when they get there.
Yeah, that Charleston win was impressive because I remember the game here, they had control for about three quarters, and then the Barbo sisters just went off, right? And the fourth quarter got at hand. Fourth quarter, the defense stepped up, and you noted on that too. And think about the CAA tournament. We hit a program record in postseason threes in D.C. and beat Charleston, who I still think is the best team this year. I think they were the best team last year too. And then, you know, Ronnie has found a way to coach them up, and I think manage minutes better. You know, he hasn't ridden his players 35, 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. I feel like fatigue is less of a factor with this group because they play Kanate off the bench and they have seven or eight. And they can trust that if they have to win three in 3 days, they have the bodies to do it. And like you said, I mean, top four is everything. We saw that last year with getting a little bit of separation. So if they can close out strong, I mean, it's theirs to win this tournament.
I know we talked about freshmen. I don't want to turn this into just a women's basketball-only podcast, but Nakanate has also, her development throughout the year has been impressive to watch. I mean, she's probably got a good at least 3 inches on any other of her opponents that she plays. But seeing her being able to get to the rack and finish this year, we saw it struggle. But her talent, and I agree, Coach Wanda Watkins says this to me all the time, she does not know how good she really is. And it's going to be impressive to watch her development in the years to come.
We move on now to the men's basketball side, and they will start their March Madness and their postseason as the CAA tournament from the men's in Washington, D.C. will be before the women. So Saturday at noon, the first game of the second round, Campbell will take on a Stony Brook team that they lost to at home a little bit earlier this year. Now, look, if you haven't been paying close attention, or even if you have, because I have felt like I've explained this to a couple of people, this is a Campbell team that is 8-10 in conference, 14-17 overall, ninth place in the CAA, and you think about where Campbell was last year, and hey, the record not as good. I thought this team was better with the new coach and everything like that. There's a couple things to explain. One of those is Campbell is, unlike the women, on the unlucky end of the close games. Campbell, half of their CAA conference games, they are 2-7 in games decided by five or less. And you look at who they have lost very close games to, two very close games to UNCW, the number one seed in the tournament, two very close games to Charleston, the number two seed in the tournament, Monmouth, who's the number four team in the tournament, they have beaten them once and lost another close game. In January, they were riddled with injuries in the middle of the conference season. There were some games where they had just two or three guys dressed out on the bench, a couple of those guys being guys that in a regular 10-man rotation would probably not have played. Analytics. If you look at their KenPom ranking right now, it is the third highest it's been in program history. The last time it was high is where they are right now was when Chris Clemens was a senior. That incredible team that did some incredible
things. We need a
30
for 30 on that year, too.
I mean,
Buies Creek was popping. Enrollment was going high. We hosted a tournament.
Yeah.
You know, they retired his jersey after that year. Like, there was a Ponkham Circumstance playing Radford at home to win the conference championship. Like, that had everything that year.
Yeah, this is a really good team that passes the eye test. And because so many players had to play when there wasn't anybody left, you look at Campbell's three big stars, and two of them are going to be announced on the all-conference team, and DJ Smith, Jeremiah Johnson. Butka, the guy down low, is somebody who was injured and so took a while to come back, and so is not going to get all-conference. But those are three, in my view, of the top players in the conference, and all brought in by John Andrzejczyk this year. But all of them are playing 37, mm-hmm. 37, 36 minutes a game, which is just too much of a load. So you saw him falter a little bit down the stretch. But I tell you what, good chance against Stony Brook, playing them for the second time. And then if they win that game, they'll play Sunday at noon against UNCW, a UNCW team that doesn't want to play Campbell. Campbell knows that they should have had one or two wins against them. There will be no pressure on Campbell. And boy, wouldn't that put the icing on the cake if Campbell could get their first ever CAA tournament win and then give UNCW a game.
Yeah, they're a dangerous team in a one-off situation.
Absolutely.
Because of the stars, especially how DJ can score and Jeremiah can drive to the basket. I think avoiding that bottom three or bottom four was huge, mm-hmm. right? Beating A&T and not having to win the fifth game in that stretch to win the tournament because of the legs. Now, Delaware, I mean, they went to overtime and almost did it, right? And they beat Campbell and then went all the way to the final as a double-digit seed. I think what's interesting with the Wilmington matchup, you noted, William & Mary's caused them problems, mm-hmm. the Seahawks this year. I think Campbell plays a similar style with the pace and the speed and the athleticism. Typically, that one seed will struggle in first halves in that opener. Like, if you're going to play Wilmington, play them early. Don't play them in the final when they're rolling and confident. And I think matchup stylistically, Towson's a tough matchup for us. Charleston's a tough matchup. You kind of avoid, again, you can't look four rounds ahead. But optimistically speaking, like, yeah, there's a great chance we could win five games, there's a chance we could lose the first game. Like, that, mm-hmm. that's kind of how this team's been, but they have a lot of stars.
But I mean the parity in the CAA.
Absolutely.
You look at the league, and analytics will say UNCW and Charleston are head and shoulders above the rest of the league. But if you've watched the league the entire year, it is much closer than the numbers would give. And so I think, just like everyone is saying right now, when you look at how this team is, and I'll take the last game that they played at home versus NC A&T. Now, granted, people will say, you know, A&T is not a good team. They're at the bottom, whatever. You can say that however you feel is how you feel. But to watch DJ Smith get back into a rhythm, right? Because we'll be honest, you watch DJ for a couple of games and he just did not look like DJ. He was missing free throws. He was missing three-pointers that you just expected to go in, the DJ that we saw at the beginning of the year. So to see them finally get back in that rhythm of, hey, we can play with Buka on the floor. Jeremiah Johnson has come into his own down the stretch this season, and now we get to see him and DJ Smith, if they combine together and go on a run, how difficult will it be for a team to be able to have to bang with Buka down low, worry about DJ Smith on one end, worry about the other wing and trying to figure out what you're going to do with Jeremiah Johnson? You can completely forget that Chris Fields can just roll right down the middle and slam on you. And then if Newton or Munir Newton is in the lineup, it's going to cause you fit. So this team is built to make a run. If they can make a run, I think it benefits them. But to your point, Chris, I think the adversity that they have faced this season, the tough opponents that they have played this season, if they can get past Stony Brook and get the win, because they did not get the win against them, and get to UNCW, it is hard to beat a team three times in a row in one season. So I think the season has prepared Campbell to make a run, and if they're going to do it, backs up against a wall, there is no pressure on this team. They just have to play. For a lot of guys, this is their last couple of games that they'll play collegiate ball. I think that we'll be in a good spot where we are.
And you talk about their new head coach, John Andrzejczyk. Last year, he made a big March run. A lot of people forget that Florida, they won the SEC tournament mm-hmm. before they won the NCAA tournament. So they went a month where they didn't lose there. He knows how to win in March. And also, as well, because he came in late after winning the NCAA tournament, because he had to put together a schedule where there was nothing, Campbell played five Power Four teams and Gonzaga, who is a Power Four but not in a Power Four conference. So those are six of the 17 losses right there.
Hey, the Pac-12 is back, baby. We're back next year. It's
that's
Power
right.
Five.
California,
next year.
Evan Budrovich.
Texas State's joining the Pac-12. Gonzaga, we're all in. Just a thought.
He's been back, so they definitely will be a Power Four after that. But also, you figure that into the record. And again, the eye test. Mm-hmm. You watch this team play. They're exciting. They play a different brand of basketball. Nothing against the former coach and the former brand of basketball that was there. But this is a really exciting team. And we'll see. Look, Campbell has not won a game in the CAA tournament yet. This is try number three. And again, they'll be playing with house money if they can get by.
And look at us going to a bar the night before, Lay and Font in D.C., the night before the game, hanging out till 9, 10 o'clock, and then the noon start the next day.
Again, we will say it is a lounge, but at the team hotel, yes, downstairs, there will be a meetup for all the fans, all the parents that are there. It'll be Friday night at 7 o'clock right there. And then we will have the noon game on Saturday. First three rounds of Flow. Everything this weekend will be on Flow College, but we'll also be there with live and free audio coverage as far as the team goes. So it'll be fun.
It'll definitely be a fun time.
Our final winter sports, this is a Campbell wrestling program that we've talked about, a big rebuilding effort, but they have gotten better as this year has gone along. Of course, with the coaching change, we have seen this in all the Campbell sports that and all the sports around the nation. Everybody hops into the portal. People find different places. But this Friday and Saturday, wrestling, remember, the only team that is in a different conference there in the SoCon, the CAA, doesn't have wrestling. They will be in Asheville, and they have a couple guys that are healthy, that are rounding into form, and could bring home a championship or an NCAA tournament berth.
We saw this versus App State. The first three matches of that duel was actually very impressive for what this team can do when their backs are against the wall, right? We've seen it before. We've seen it over and over again, where just when you doubt any Campbell team, any program, any athletic program that we have, at some point they will surprise you. So I would not be surprised if a couple of guys get into this SoCon tournament and do really, really, really well. It's just been a tall task, and Coach Dudley has had the responsibility of kind of guiding this wrestling program in this new era.
Also, Asheville's going to be rocking that weekend, SoCon basketball tournament and the SoCon wrestling tournament all at the same time. I mean, I know one's at UNC Asheville, one's in the Justice Center, but that's always a cool – I remember one year, Bob Roller, former athletic director, Jim Roberts, our former CFO, Jerry Haino, Nathan Kreiser were competing for the bouts where you wrestle back in to get the third or fourth bid to make NCAAs. So we flew private charter that night because there was a basketball game in town with the men. And Bob Roller said, hey, do you want to fly out and come with us? So we actually literally flew across the state. Nathan Kreiser got the top two placing, and then he goes on to get All-America that year. And then Haino, as a freshman, qualifies. And I think he went 1-2 in the tournament. But wrestling's always done well in these conference matchups.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, rebuilding, but the future very, very bright. Our Campbell swimming team went to the CAA championships. Their season is already over, but a couple of school records, some that had been decades old, fell. So just an amazing job of what Zach Bagby, the head coach for the swimming team, is doing. And indoor track, the track program, rebuilding as well, a couple of podiums in what was a snow-shortened indoor track championships in Northeastern in Boston, where the team was there for a couple of extra days.
I was going to say shortened might be the word for the competition, but they definitely were there for a long time. They were definitely there for a long time. I think the job that both coaches, Coach Bagby and of course, Coach Darm, have done with these programs to trying to guide this into a new era. Again, CAA is competitive in swimming as well. CAA is competitive in track, especially when you add Hampton, you add A&T. It's not just a distance program. And so trying to grow it back to the success that we have seen in recent years is what Coach Darm has been tasked with. And we can see the program start to pull in new recruits and new guys. And there's someone that's always in the building on a track visit. He's expressed his desire to make this program as good as it can be, and you can see that in the work that both coaches have done.
As we go on to the spring sports, we already talked about our women's lacrosse team, just incredible. 7 straight wins, 7-1, best start in program history. It will be so much fun to see them go into conference play. No pun intended, getting into the swing of things, men's and women's tennis. Women's golf, a bit of a rebuilding year as they have lost their number one players in each of the last 2 years to the transfer portal. But men's golf, first-year head coach, longtime Campbell, Matt Moot. He's been an assistant here a couple of times. He was on the Campbell men's golf team and now has taken over. And they are really rounding into shape. Had a really good fall. They have finished up another top three finish. They were down in Daytona this past week at a third-place finish, too, ending up in the top five. So watch the men's golf team. This may be the year, first year under head coach Matt Moot, that they break through. Now onto the diamond. The diamond's always sparkling here in the spring. And this softball team, second year under Emily Carasone, with no chance to recruit, literally, taking over this team last year a week before school started, guided them all the way to the championship game of the CAA tournament. And this year, impressive already. They are 12-8 overall, playing a unbelievably tough schedule. They have beaten Iowa out of the Big Ten. They've beaten Illinois out of the Big Ten, and they beat ECU on Sunday.
I'll tell you what about this softball program to watch the development of these players. Now, you have to think about Aaliyah Sweeney, who has gone from one coach recruiting her to another coach coaching her freshman year, and then another coach coming in during her junior year to see the transition and how they have all been able to develop. Now, granted, Campbell softball has had three legends come in and coach back to back to back who were players as well, but to see the growth of this team, who kind of struggled at home to start in the year versus some tough competition in that middle, the Campbell Invitational, Miami of Ohio, who obviously is not just good in men's basketball, but they can do it on the diamond. And to see the team get a big win versus ECU this past Sunday on the road in Greenville in that tournament, this program and the way that it's trending, especially with the split from north to south that we see in both of our diamond sports, I think they're posed and ready to make a run.
Yeah, absolutely. And they can hit the heck out of the ball.
Yeah.
They did that a lot last year, but they have pitching depth. If they would have had one more healthy pitcher last year, as they made it all the way to the championship game, fell a little bit short. They literally ran out of pitching. So it'll be sensational. You talked about on both softball and baseball, they have divided up into a north and south division. Who plays who and who plays what? It's different for both sports. It's different for both divisions. Go to CAASports.com and you can see it. But know this, that the top two teams in each division automatically get to the conference tournament in both sports. And then there's a wild card aspect for the other two. In softball, it's the best win percentage in the conference overall. Campbell will be at Hampton starting CAA play this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They will be back home in Buies Creek in a week, March 13th, 14th, and 15th against Charleston. Now on to the baseball diamond. Coach Chris Marks put together an unbelievably tough schedule this year. It started the year top five in the nation strength of schedule, and it was a sneaky strength of schedule, schedule. And tough because a lot of people don't know who Cal Poly is. Campbell won 1 of 3 against Cal Poly. They are one of the best mid-majors on the West Coast. They went to the NCAA tournament last year, went to a regional final. They'll be there again. Picked up a win against East Carolina. Went down to Troy. Troy won the series against Campbell. Campbell got a game. Troy, the best mid-major to not make the NCAA tournament last year. They are one of the favorites in the Sun Belt this year. Went to Coastal Carolina, top 10 ranked team in the country that was second in the nation last year, all the way to the championship series in the College World Series. They had a lead on them late, ended up losing that game. Wright State wins 1 of 3 against a Raiders team that has been to the NCAA tournament 7 of the last 10 years and eliminated Vanderbilt from postseason play last year on their way to a regional final. So outside looking in, you say, man, Campbell 4-7. Is this going to be a similar year than last year? No. They have unbelievable pitching depth. They have so many position players. They'll be able to survive injuries if they have them on either sides. And this is a good team where this tough schedule is going to pay off, and wait to see what happens this weekend. Campbell at home against William & Mary, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I am expecting big things from the Camels this series.
The great news is Warren Nolan, who does a lot of inside analytics for baseball, projects the Camels to go 20-10 in the league. And with an expanded league play, you play your South Division twice, you play select teams from the North Division. You know, that adds some nuance to the scheduling, but I've liked how the pitching's done this year. You know, and the bats are going to come along, like Campbell teams always do, a little slow offensively early, but the competitive series will help them in league play. I think bringing back some of the arms in the rotation has been nice, and some depth in the pitching side of things has been big. And then this team's always gritty. I mean, Chris Marks, like I ran into Tyler Shoemaker this week at Coastal Carolina because they were playing NC State. We were chatting, and he's like, we just played Campbell a week ago, and they're the same gritty team that when both of them were coaching together, right? And that mentality, that mindset, not as powerful, like home run-wise, as previous years, but finding ways to get on. Like, they're going to be a tough out any weekend series.
And their defense, phenomenal. That was last year. Again, they had they went through seven guys at second base because of injuries. They had guys that hadn't played second base since high school, and that was how depleted and injured they were. Any ground ball you would hold your breath at last year, this year, really, really good defensively.
And we talked to Coach Marks at the beginning of the year, and he said, you know, he kind of expected where they are with how tough his schedule was, trying to figure out where the bats would come along. He was like, you know, hang in there with us. It might get rough really early for us, but I'm telling you, this team is talented. This is one of the most deep teams that I have had, you know, as a coach and all of my years of coaching as an assistant and so forth and so on. And I can see that. The pitching was the big question coming into this year, out of last year, was what is Campbell going to be able to do out of the bullpen? We know we've got a couple of guys that can start on the mound, but does the game deplete as we go on and new arms comes out? And I think we have our answer. I think Campbell is as deep as we have seen them in a really long time coming out of the bullpen. You have a lot of guys who obviously will progress as the season comes along, but we have also seen some arms and even some defensive guys, of particularly like Darnell Parker Jr., who are playing but still are not at 100% yet. Or we're seeing guys who have not played that we will expect to play later in the year, just ebbs and flows of how a team goes. And I think this team, strength-wise, injury-wise, gets better as the year goes on. So we don't even know what the ceiling is for this Campbell team right now.
Yeah, and unbelievably tough. It'll be different because of the division. Since Campbell's in the South, UNCW, Charleston, two of the best teams in the conference, and they will play each of those teams in three-game series, home and away. GoCamels.com has all of the information. There are some great home midweek games coming up. I told you about William & Mary conference this weekend. Then on Tuesday, Charlotte comes into town. March 17th, Campbell plays Duke, and the day after, March 18th, takes on Coastal Carolina. That will be fun. They'll be at NC State, at North Carolina, but UNCW at home, Charleston at home, Elon at home, High Point's another midweek game, so a lot of fun. Kids 12 and under in free for every Campbell baseball game. It is not official, but it's getting close. We have secured donations for the Friday night fireworks that we think will start this Friday night. Check GoCamels.com for full information, but you can imagine the amount of signatures you have to get to shoot off fireworks in the middle of campus.
And if you hear some cow pastures with some cows getting upset across campus, we apologize to our local Harnett County farmers, but it's okay. It'll just be for 20 minutes.
If you haven't been here for a fireworks show, again, we are getting these fireworks show taken care of by some generous a donation from Campbell Athletic supporters, but it is it's a show, man. It's not just a couple of Roman candles and a sparkler. Like, it is a show, and it's a magical moment. So bring the kids out, 12 and under in for free. It is a good time, and it's a good team that's going to make a run to try to get back into the NCAA tournament.
Kids in the Creek always on Sunday as well. So
kids get to run the bases afterwards.
They get to run the bases after the game.
Absolutely. Gosh, guys, this has been a whole lot of fun. We had a whole lot to cover. It has been about 5 months since we've been back. Evan, thank you for setting up this amazing studio. This is awesome. And again, a lot of exciting things going on in the Campbell podcast room.